Section 16, Medical Evangelism.
On an Entering Wedge. Subheading, Opening Doors for Evangelism. Nothing will open doors for the truth like evangelistic medical missionary work. This will find access to hearts and minds, and will be a means of converting many to the truth. The evangelist who is prepared to minister to a diseased body is given the grandest opportunity of ministering to the sin-sick soul. Such an evangelist should be empowered to administer baptism to those who are converted and desire baptism. Medical missionary work is the right, helping hand of the gospel to open doors for the proclamation of the message. Doors that have been closed to him who merely preaches the gospel will be open to the intelligent medical missionary. God reaches hearts through the relief of physical suffering. Manuscript 58, 1901. Subheading, The Great Entering Wedge. I can see in the Lord's providence that the medical missionary work is to be a great entering wedge whereby the diseased soul may be reached. Counsels on Health, page 535, 1893. Subheading, It Removes Prejudice. Medical missionary work is the pioneer work of the gospel, the door through which the truth for this time is to find entrance to many homes. A demonstration of the principles of health reform will do much toward removing prejudice against our evangelical work. The great physician, the originator of medical missionary work, will bless all who thus seek to impart the truth for this time. Counsels on Health, page 497, 1902. Subheading, It Gives Access to Hearts. Do medical missionary work. Thus you will gain access to the hearts of the people. The way will be prepared for more decided proclamation of the truth. You will find that relieving their physical suffering gives an opportunity to minister to their spiritual needs. The union of Christ-like work for the body and Christ-like work for the soul is the true interpretation of the gospel. An appeal for the Medical Missionary College, pages 14, 15, 1902. Subheading, Reformative Discourses. I have been informed by my guide that not only should those who believe the truth practice health reform, but they should also teach it diligently to others, for it will be an agency through which the truth can be presented to the attention of unbelievers. They will reason that if we have such sound ideas in regard to health and temperance, there must be something in our religious belief that is worth investigation. If we backslide in health reform, we shall lose much of our influence with the outside world. The discourses preached at our large gathering should be of a reformative nature. All the talent possible should be employed to set it before the people. Many are disgusted with the dry formalism which exists in the Christian world. Many are becoming infidels because they see the lack of true piety in those who profess to be Christians. A good work could be done to prepare the way for the introduction of the truth if decided testimonies were borne upon the health and temperance branch of the work. The matter of presenting true principles of health and temperance must not be passed over as unessential, for nearly every family needs to be instructed on this point. Nearly every person needs to have this conscience aroused to become a doer of the Word of God, practicing self-denial and abstaining from the unlawful indulgence of appetite. When you make the people intelligent concerning the principles of health reform, you do much to prepare the way for the introduction of present truth. Said my guide, educate, educate, educate. The mind must be enlightened, for the understanding of the people is darkened. Satan can find access to the soul through perverted appetite to debase and destroy it. Letter 1, 1875. Subheading, Firmly Linked with Ministry of the Word. The principles of health reform are to be found in the Word of God. The gospel of health is to be firmly linked with the ministry of the Word. It is the Lord's design that the restoring influence of health reform shall be a part of the last great effort to proclaim the gospel message. Medical Ministry, page 259, 1899. Subheading, In Many Places. As a means of overcoming prejudice and gaining access to minds, medical missionary work must be done, not in one or two places only, but in many places where the truth has not yet been proclaimed. We are to work as gospel medical missionaries, to heal the sin-sick souls by giving them the message of salvation. This work will break down prejudice as nothing else can. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 211, 1909. Subheading, Necessary to the Advancement of the Cause. Medical missionary work is the right hand of the gospel. It is necessary to the advancement of the cause of God. And through it, men and women are led to see the importance of right habits of living. The saving power of the truth will be made known. Every city is to be entered by workers trained to do medical missionary work. As the right hand of the third angel's message, God's methods of treating disease will open doors for the entrance of present truth. Testimonies, Volume 7, page 59, 1902. Subheading, It Opens Doors. In every place the sick may be found, and those who go forth as workers for Christ should be true health reformers, prepared to give those who are sick the simple treatments that will relieve them and then pray with them. Thus they will open the door for the entrance of the truth. The doing of this work will be followed by good results. Medical Ministry, page 320, 1911. Heading, The True Objective of Medical Evangelism. Subheading, Yields a Precious Harvest. Medical missionary work gives opportunity for carrying forward successful evangelistic work. It is as these lines of effort are united that we may expect to gather the most precious fruit for the Lord. Review and Herald, September 7, 1905. Subheading, Comforting, Healing, and Relieving. Christ sought the people where they were and placed before them the great truths in regard to his kingdom. As he went from place to place, he blessed and comforted the suffering and healed the sick. This is our work. God would have us relieve the necessities of the destitute. Letter 54, 1898. Subheading, The Pattern in Isaiah 58. The 58th chapter of Isaiah contains present truth for the people of God. Here we see how medical missionary work and the gospel ministry are to be bound together as the message is given to the world. Upon those who keep the Sabbath of the Lord is laid the responsibility of doing a work of mercy and benevolence. Medical missionary work is to be bound up with the message and sealed with the seal of God. Manuscript 22, 1901. Subheading, Hearts Are Softened. The world must have an antidote for sin. As the medical missionary works intelligently to relieve suffering and save life, hearts are softened. Those who are helped are filled with gratitude. As the medical missionary works upon the body, God works upon the heart. The comforting words that are spoken are a soothing balm, bringing assurance and trust. Often the skillful operator will have an opportunity to tell of the work Christ did while he was upon this earth. Tell the suffering one the story of God's love. Manuscript 58, 1901. Subheading, Restoring Faith in God and Man. Many have lost the sense of eternal realities, lost the similitude of God, and they hardly know whether they have souls to be saved or not. They have neither faith in God nor confidence in man. As they see one with no inducement of earthly praise or compensation come into the wretched homes, ministering to the sick, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and tenderly pointing all to him, of whose love and pity the human worker is but the messenger, as they see this, their hearts are touched. Gratitude springs up. Faith is kindled. They see that God cares for them, and they are prepared to listen as his word is open. As God's children devote themselves to this work, many will lay hold of the hand stretched out to save them. They are constrained to turn from their evil ways. Some of the rescued ones may, through faith in Christ, rise to high places of service and be entrusted with responsibilities in the work of saving souls. They know by experience the necessities of those for whom they labor, and they can know how to help them. They know what means can best be used to recover the perishing. They are filled with gratitude to God for the blessings they have received. Their hearts are quickened by love, and their energies are strengthened to lift up others who can never rise without help. Review and Herald, August 3, 1905. Subheading, The True Science of Medical Missionary Work. The study of surgery and other medical science receives much attention in the world, but the true science of medical missionary work, carried forward as Christ carried it, is new and strange to the denominational churches and to the world. But it will find its rightful place when, as a people who have had great light, Seventh-day Adventists awaken to their responsibilities and improve their opportunities. Young men and young women must be fitted to engage in medical missionary work as physicians and nurses. But before these workers are sent into the field, they must give evidence that they have the spirit of service, that they are breathing a medical missionary atmosphere, that they are prepared for evangelical work. Students should be prepared for pioneer missionary work. The medical missionaries who are sent to foreign countries should first receive a most careful education. They are Christ's ambassadors. They are to work for him with all the skill they have, praying fervently that the great physician will pity and save by his miraculous power. Manuscript 33, 1901. Subheading, True Medical Missionary Work. The lesson that we need to learn is, what is true medical missionary work in practical gospel lines? Let us keep before the people everywhere the terms of eternal life as given in the Word of God. Those who obey this word, reverently giving God the honor that is due him, will show in their practice that they have a knowledge of what constitutes true medical missionary work. Self is to be humbled, not exalted. It is of great consequence that all who claim to understand gospel medical missionary work teach the principles of truth. Manuscript 126, 1905. Heading, Relationship to Gospel Ministry. Subheading, Makes Evangelism Twice as Successful. Some utterly fail to realize the importance of missionaries being also medical missionaries. A gospel minister will be twice as successful in his work if he understands how to treat disease. A minister of the gospel, who is also a medical missionary, who can cure physical ailments, is a much more efficient worker than one who cannot do this. His work as a minister of the gospel is much more complete. Medical Ministry, page 245, 1901. Subheading, Not to be Divorced. Medical missionary work is in no case to be divorced from the gospel ministry. The Lord has specified that the two shall be as closely connected as the arm is with the body. Without this union, neither part of the work is complete. The medical missionary work is the gospel in illustration. Testimonies, Volume 6, pages 240, 241, 1900. Subheading, The Lord's Plans for a United Work. But the world's need today cannot be met fully by the ministry of God's servants who have been called to preach the everlasting gospel to every creature. While it is well, so far as possible, for evangelical workers to learn how to minister to the necessities of the body as well as of the soul, thus following the example of Christ, yet they cannot spend all their time and strength in relieving those in need of help. The Lord has ordained that with those who preach the word shall be associated his medical missionary workers, Christian physicians and nurses who have received special training in the healing of disease and in soul winning. Counsels to Teachers, page 468, 1913. Subheading, Medical Missionaries Are Evangelists. Physicians should remember that they will often be required to perform the duties of a minister. Medical missionaries come under the head of evangelists. The workers should go forth two by two, that they may pray and consult together. Never should they be sent out alone. The Lord Jesus Christ sent forth his disciples two and two into all the cities of Israel. He gave them the commission, Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. We are instructed in the Word of God that an evangelist is a teacher. He should also be a medical missionary. But not all are given the same work. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those who labor in our conferences as ministers should become acquainted with the work of ministering to the sick. No minister should be proud that he is ignorant where he should be wise. Medical missionary work connects man with his fellow men and with God. The manifestation of sympathy and confidence is not to be limited by time or space. Medical Ministry, pages 249, 250, 1901. Subheading, Indifference Among Ministers. There are, in our world, many Christian workers who have not yet heard the grand and wonderful truths that have come to us. These are doing a good work in accordance with the light which they have, and many of them are more advanced in the knowledge of practical work than are those who have had great light and opportunities. The indifference which has existed among our ministers in regard to health reform and medical missionary work is surprising. Some who do not profess to be Christians treat these matters with greater reverence than do some of our own people. Unless we arouse, they will go in advance of us. Testimonies to Ministers, pages 416, 417, 1898. Subheading, The Conference President to Recognize It. We now ask those who shall be chosen as presidents of our conferences to make a right beginning in places where nothing has been done. Recognize the medical missionary work as God's helping hand. As his appointed agency, it is to have room and encouragement. Medical missionaries are to have as much encouragement as any accredited evangelist. Pray with these workers. Counsel with them if they need counsel. Do not dampen their zeal and energy. Be sure by your own consecration and devotion to keep a high standard before them. Laborers are greatly needed in the Lord's vineyard, and not a word of discouragement should be spoken to those who consecrate themselves to the work. Medical Ministry, pages 240, 241, 1901. Subheading, The Conference Medical Missionary Secretary. The medical missionary work is to be closely connected with the work of preaching. Men should be appointed to do this work who have shown themselves trustworthy, who are true to principle. In every conference, one man should be set apart to have the oversight. He should be a man who gives evidence that he is conscientious, that he is straightforward when dealing with worldlings and those of our faith. He should be free from covetousness and selfishness. Letter 139, 1898. Subheading, Caution Against an Independent Work. As the medical missionary work becomes more extended, there will be a temptation to make it independent of our conferences. But it has been presented to me that this plan is not right. The different lines of our work are but parts of one great whole. They have one center. In the work of the gospel, the Lord uses different instrumentalities, and nothing is to be allowed to separate these instrumentalities. Never should a sanitarium be established as an enterprise independent of the church. Our physicians are to unite with the work of the ministers of the gospel. Through their labors, souls are to be saved, that the name of God may be magnified. God not designed that the medical missionary work should eclipse the work of the third angel's message. The arm is not to become the body. The third angel's message is the gospel message for these last days, and in no case is it to be overshadowed by other interests and made to appear an unessential consideration. When in our institutions anything is placed above the third angel's message, the gospel is not there the great leading power. Testimonies, Volume 6, pages 235, 241, 1900. Subheading, Medical Ministry Not to Take the Place of Evangelism. Medical missionary work is not to take the place of the ministry of the Word. It is not to absorb the means which should be used to sustain the Lord's work in foreign fields. From wheresoever the money in the treasury shall come, it is the Lord's, and it is not to be used so largely in erecting buildings in America. The donations of the people are not to be sunk in lines of work which show little results. The truth is to be proclaimed, that the way of the Lord may be prepared. The trumpet must give no uncertain sound. Medical missionary work must leave room for the ministry of the Word. Contempt is never to be expressed in regard to the promulgation of God's Word. The third angel's message must not be smothered to death. Manuscript 177, 1899. Subheading, The Last Ministerial Work. I wish to tell you that there soon will be no work done in ministerial lines but medical missionary work. The work of a minister is to minister. Our ministers are to work on the gospel plan of ministering. You will never be ministers after the gospel order till you have shown a decided interest in medical missionary work. The gospel of healing and blessing and strengthening. It is because of the directions I have received from the Lord that I have the courage to stand among you and speak as I do, notwithstanding the way in which you may look at the medical missionary work. I wish to say that the medical missionary work is God's work. The Lord wants every one of his ministers to come into line. Take hold of the medical missionary work, and it will give you access to the people. Their hearts will be touched as you minister to their necessities. As you relieve their sufferings, you will find opportunity to speak to them of the love of Jesus. Counsels on Health, page 533, 1901. Heading, Simplicity of Method, subheading, Christ has shown how to help humanity. Read the record of how the Savior fed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This merciful provision for temporal need helped to fasten in the minds of the people the gracious words of truth which he had spoken. In this miracle, Christ has shown how medical missionary work is to be bound up with the ministry of the Word. His disciples are to take the bread of life and the water of salvation and give it to those who are longing for spiritual help. And as there is need, they are to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. Thus they do double service for the Master. The beauty and utility of the work we do for God consists in its symmetry and harmony, and in all its round adaptability and efficiency. Manuscript 5, 1901. Subheading, Come Close to Suffering Humanity. Christ has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. He always drew near to the most needy, to the most hopeless, and attracted by his sympathy, they came close to him. He assures every suffering, needy, sinful soul that he will never want for a great physician to give him spiritual help. We stand too far away from suffering humanity. Let us draw nearer to Christ, that our souls may be filled with his grace, and with a desire to give this grace to others. Letter 17, 1903. Subheading, Impractical Lines. We have to remember that the work of reaching souls cannot be confined to any one method. Gospel medical missionary work is to be carried forward not in the precision of one man's lines, but in Christ's lines. All that is done is to bear the impress of the Holy Spirit. We are to work as Christ worked in the same practical lines, then we shall be safe. The Divine Commission needs no reform. Christ's way of presenting truth cannot be improved upon. The work who tries to bring methods that will attract the worldly-minded, supposing that this will remove the objections that they feel to taking up the cross, lessens his influence. Preserve the simplicity of godliness. Letter 123, 1903. Subheading, Prepared to Give Simple Treatments. Let our ministers who have gained an experience in preaching the word learn how to give simple treatments, and then go forth as medical missionary evangelists. Workers, gospel medical missionaries are needed now. Manuscript 141, 1903. Subheading, Teaching the Principles of Healthful Living. Gospel workers should be able to give instruction in the principles of healthful living. There is sickness everywhere, and much of it might be prevented by attention to the laws of health. The people need to see the bearing of health principles upon their well-being, for both this life and for the life to come. They need to be awakened to their responsibility for the human habitation fitted up by their Creator as his dwelling place, and over which he desires them to be faithful stewards. Thousands need and would gladly receive instruction concerning the simple methods of treating the sick, methods that are taking the place of the use of poisonous drugs. There is great need of instruction in regard to dietetic reform. Wrong habits of eating and the use of unhealthful food are in no small degree responsible for the intemperance and crime and wretchedness that curse the world. In teaching health principles, keep before the mind the great object of reform, that its purpose is to secure the highest development of body and mind and soul. Show that the laws of nature, being the laws of God, are designed for our good, that obedience to them promotes happiness in this life and aids in the preparation for the life to come. Encourage the people to study that marvelous organism, the human system, and the laws by which it is governed. Those who perceive the evidences of God's love, who understand something of the wisdom and beneficence of his laws, and the results of obedience, will come to regard their duties and obligations from an altogether different point of view. Instead of looking upon an observance of the laws of health as a matter of sacrifice or self-denial, they will regard it as it really is, an inestimable blessing. Every gospel worker should feel that to teach the principles of healthful living is a part of his appointed work. Of this work, there is a great need, and the world is open for it. Councils on Health, pages 389, 390, 1914. Subheading, to instruct in healthful cookery. Cooking schools should be established, and house-to-house instruction should be given in the art of cooking wholesome food. Old and young should learn how to cook more simply. Wherever the truth is presented, the people are to be taught how to prepare food in a simple yet appetizing way. They are to be shown that a nourishing diet can be provided without the use of flesh foods. Teach the people that it is better to know how to keep well than how to cure disease. Our physicians should be wise educators, warning all against self-indulgence and showing that abstinence from the things that God has prohibited is the only way to prevent ruin of body and mind. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 161, 1909. Subheading, Importance of Cooking Schools. Cooking schools are to be established in many places. This work may begin in a humble way, but as intelligent cooks do their best to enlighten others, the Lord will give them skill and understanding. The word of the Lord is, Forbid them not, for I will reveal myself to them as their instructor. He will work with those who carry out his plans, teaching the people how to bring about a reformation in their diet by the preparation of healthful, inexpensive foods. Thus the poor will be encouraged to adopt the principles of health reform. They will be helped to become industrious and self-reliant. It has been presented to me that men and women of capability were being taught of God how to prepare wholesome, palatable foods in an acceptable manner. Many of these were young, and there were also those of mature age. I have been instructed to encourage the conducting of cooking schools in all places where medical missionary work is being done. Every inducement to lead the people to reform must be held out before them. Let as much light as possible shine upon them. Teach them to make every improvement that they can in the preparation of food and encourage them to impart to others that which they learn. Testimonies, Volume 7, page 113, 1902. Subheading, Going from House to House to Teach Cooking. Some should labor from house to house, giving instruction in the art of cooking wholesome foods. Many will be rescued from physical, mental, and moral degeneracy through the influence of health reform. These principles will commend themselves to those who are seeking for light, and such will advance from this to receive the full truth for this time. Review and Herald, June 6, 1912. Subheading, Educate, Educate, Educate. We must educate, educate, educate pleasantly and intelligently. We must preach the truth, pray the truth, and live the truth, bringing it with its gracious, health-giving influences within the reach of those who know it not. As the sick are brought into touch with the life-giver, their faculties of mind and body will be renewed. But in order for this to be, they must practice self-denial and be temperate in all things. Thus only can they be saved from physical and spiritual death and restored to health. When the human machinery moves in harmony with the life-giving arrangements of God, as brought to light through the gospel, disease is overcome and health springs forth speedily. When human beings work in union with the life-giver, who offered up his life for them, happy thoughts fill the mind. Body and mind and soul are sanctified. Human beings learn of the great teacher, and all upon which they look ennobles and enriches their thoughts. The affections are drawn out in gladness and thankfulness to the Creator. The life of the man who is renewed in the image of Christ is as a light shining in darkness. Medical Ministry, pages 262-263, 1905. Subheading, Broad Views of the Work. There is a science in dealing with those who seem especially weak. If we would teach others, we ourselves must first learn of Christ. We need broad views that we may do true medical missionary work. We must exercise tact in dealing with those who seem to be ignorant and out of the way. By persevering effort in their behalf, we must help them to become useful in the Lord's work. They will respond readily to a patient, tender, loving interest. We are to cooperate with the Lord Jesus in restoring the inefficient and the erring to intelligence and purity. This work ranks equally in importance with the work of the Gospel Ministry. Medical Ministry, pages 208, 209, 1905. Heading, An Anti-Tobacco and Temperance Message. Subheading, Man Has Sold His Reason. Satan has taken the world captive through the use of liquor and tobacco, tea and coffee. The God-given mind, which should be kept clear, is perverted by the use of narcotics. The brain is no longer able to distinguish correctly. The enemy has control. Man has sold his reason for that which makes him mad. He has no sense of what is right. Yet the liquor curse is legalized and works untold ruin in the hands of those who love to tamper with that which not only ruins the poor victim, but his whole family. The curse of liquor drinking is demonstrated by the awful murders that take place. Intemperance is widespread. How much man's senses are perverted by intoxicating drugs, it is impossible to say. Manuscript 11, 1899. Subheading, An Important Duty. Years ago, we regarded the spread of the temperance principles as one of our most important duties. It should be so today. Medical Ministry, page 266, 1907. Subheading, Methods for Presenting the Temperance Message. The subject of temperance should be strongly and clearly presented. Let the people be shown what a blessing the practice of health principles will be to them. Let them see what God designed men and women to become. Point to the great sacrifice made for the uplifting and ennobling of the human race. With the Bible in hand, present the requirements of God. Tell the hearers that He expects them to use the powers of mind and body in a way that will honor Him. Show them how the enemy is trying to drag human beings down to leading them to indulge perverted appetite. Clearly, plainly, earnestly, tell them how thousands of men and women are using God's money to corrupt themselves and to make this world a hell. Millions of dollars are spent for that which makes men mad. Present this matter so clearly that its force cannot but be seen. Then tell your hearers of the Savior, who came to this world to save men and women from all sinful practices. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ask those who attend the meetings to help you in the work that you're trying to do. Show them how evil habits result in diseased bodies and diseased minds, in wretchedness that no pen can describe. The use of intoxicating liquor is robbing thousands of their reason, and yet the sale of this liquor is legalized. Tell them that they have a heaven to win and a hell to shun. Ask them to sign the pledge. The commission of the great I Am is to be our authority. Have the pledges prepared and present them at the close of the meeting. One man should not try to do this work alone. Let several unite in such an effort. Let them come to the front with a message from heaven, imbued with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let them draw with all their strength, with words made eloquent by the Spirit's efficiency. Let them ask their hearers to assist in the work of warning the cities. Let men and women be shown the evil of spending money in indulgences that destroy the health of mind and soul and body. Not by outward display, not by worldly patronage is the kingdom of Christ established, but by the implanting of Christ's nature in humanity through the work of the Holy Spirit. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Here is the only power that can work for the uplifting of humanity, and the human agency for the accomplishment of this work is the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Manuscript 42, 1905. Subheading, Experience in Helping Tobacco Users. In Australia, I met a man considered free from everything like intemperance except for one habit. He used tobacco. He came to hear us at the tent, and one night after he went home, as he afterward told us, he wrestled against the habit of tobacco using and obtained the victory. Some of his relatives had told him that they would give him 50 pounds if he would throw away his tobacco. He would not do it. But he said, "When you present the principles of temperance before us as you have done, I cannot resist them. You present before us the self-denial of one who gave his life for us. I do not know him now, but I desire to know him. I have never offered a prayer in my house. I have cast away my tobacco, but that is as far as I have gone. We prayed with him, and after we left him, we wrote to him and later visited him again. He finally reached the point where he gave himself to God, and he is becoming the very pillar of the church in the place where he lives. He is working with all his soul to bring his relatives to a knowledge of the truth. General Conference Bulletin, April 23, 1901. Subheading, Victory Through Faith. In this work, all classes will be reached. When the Holy Spirit works among us, souls who are unready for Christ appearing are convicted. Many come to our meetings and are converted who for years have not attended meetings in any church. The simplicity of the truth reaches their hearts. The tobacco devotees sacrifice their idol, and the liquor drinker his liquor. They could not do this if they did not, by faith, grasp the promises of God for the forgiveness of their sins. The truth as it is in the Word comes before high and low, rich and poor, and those who receive the message become workers with us and with God, and a strong force is raised up to labor harmoniously. This is our work. Manuscript 3, 1899. Heading, Medical Evangelism in the Cities. Subheading, From City to City and Town to Town. To all people, rich and poor, free and bond, Christ, the messenger of the covenant, brought the tidings of salvation. How the people flocked to him. From far and near they came for healing, and he healed them all. His fame as the great healer spread throughout Palestine, from Jerusalem to Syria. The sick came to places through which they thought he would pass, that they might call on him for help, and he healed them of their diseases. Hitherto came the rich, anxious to hear his words and to receive a touch of his hand. Thus he went from city to city, from town to town, preaching the gospel and healing the sick, the King of Glory in the lowly garb of humanity. Review and Herald, July 23, 1914. Subheading, God's Call Today. God is calling not only upon ministers, but also upon physicians, nurses, co-porters, Bible workers, and other consecrated laymen of varied talent who have a knowledge of the Word of God, and who know the power of His grace to consider the needs of the unborn cities. Time is rapidly passing, and there is much to be done. Every agency must be set in operation, that present opportunities may be wisely improved. Acts of the Apostles, pages 158, 159, 1913. Subheading, A Door of Entrance to City Homes. The medical missionary work is a door through which the truth is to find entrance to many homes in the cities. In every city will be found those who will appreciate the truths of the third angel's message. Counsels on Health, page 556, 1906. Subheading, In Every City Effort. The principles of health reform are to be promulgated as a part of the work in these cities. The voice of the third angel's message is to be heard with power. Let the teachings of health reform be brought into every effort made to get the light of truth before the people. Let workers be selected who are qualified to teach the truth wisely in clear, simple lines. Medical Ministry, page 304, 1910. Subheading, Far Behind in the Work. We are far behind in doing the work that should have been done in these long neglected cities. The work will now be more difficult than it would have been a few years ago. But if we take up the work in the name of the Lord, barriers will be broken down and decided victories will be ours. In this work, physicians and gospel ministers are needed. We must press our petitions to the Lord and do our best, pressing forward with all the energy possible to make an opening in the large cities. Had we in the past worked after the Lord's plans, many lights would be shining brightly that are going out. Medical Ministry, pages 301, 302, 1909. Subheading, Health and Temperance Messages to Masses. There is a great work to be done in bringing the principles of health reform to the notice of the people. Public meetings should be held to introduce the subject, and schools should be held in which those who are interested can be told more particularly about our health foods and of how a wholesome, nourishing, appetizing diet can be provided without the use of meat, tea, or coffee. Press home the temperance question with all the force of the Holy Spirit's unction. show the need of total abstinence from all intoxicating liquor, show the terrible harm that is wrought in the human system by the use of tobacco and alcohol, explain your methods of giving treatment. Let the talks given be such as will enlighten your hearers. God has mercy on the unrighteous. This service will be an opportunity to tell what health reform really is. Letter 343, 1904. Subheading, Sanitariums Near Important Cities. The Lord has shown me that there should be sanitariums near many important cities. Suitable places must be provided to which we can bring the sick and suffering away from the cities who know nothing of our people and scarcely anything of Bible truth. Every effort possible is to be made to show the sick that disease may be cured by rational methods of treatment without having recourse to injurious drugs. Let the sick be separated from harmful surroundings and associations and placed in our sanitariums, where they can receive treatment from Christian nurses and physicians, and thus they become acquainted with the Word of God. Letter 63, 1905. Subheading, Planting Basis for the Message. It is the Lord's desire that renewed efforts shall be put forth in many places and small plants be established. A work is to be done that is to open the way for the advancement of the truth, and that will increase the faith of souls. There are many fields to be worked, and calculation should not be made to plant many large interests in a few favored localities. The Lord has instructed me that we are not to make many large centers, for in every field there should be facilities for the successful carrying on of the work. For this reason, a few large institutions should not be allowed to exhaust all the income of means. In small and large cities, and in settlements that lie outside the cities, there should be maintained small centers where faithful watchmen are stationed who will labor for souls. Wherever the missionary worker goes, there should follow his efforts the establishment of some small plant that the advance of the work may be hastened. When God's servants do their work faithfully, Providence will open the way for these facilities in many places. In the highways and the byways, efforts are to be put forth. We are not developing the work according to the best plans. We should plan to divide and subdivide our working forces that we may work new fields. Letter 30, 1911. Subheading, Cities in Many Lands. Medical missionary work is the right hand of the gospel. It is necessary to the advancement of the cause of God. As through it, men and women are led to see the importance of right habits of living, the saving power of the truth will be made known. Every city is to be entered by workers trained to do medical missionary work. As the right hand of the third angel's message, God's methods of treating disease will open doors for the entrance of present truth. Health literature must be circulated in many lands. Our physicians in Europe and other countries should awake to the necessity of having health works prepared by men who are on the ground and who can meet the people where they are with the most essential instruction. Testimonies, Volume 7, page 59, 1902. Heading, Institutional Evangelism. Subheading, Established to Promote the Gospel Message. To preach the gospel means much more than many realize. It is a broad, far-reaching work. Our sanitariums have been presented to me as most efficient mediums for the promotion of the gospel message. Manuscript 5, 1908. Subheading, To Bring Health to the Soul. Some will be attracted by one phase of the gospel and some by another. We are instructed by our Lord to work in such a way that all classes will be reached. The message must go to the whole world. Our sanitariums are to help to make up the number of God's people. We are not to establish a few mammoth institutions, for thus it would be impossible to give the patients the messages that will bring health to the soul. Small sanitariums are to be established in many places. Medical Ministry, page 327, 1905. Subheading, To Make the Gospel Attractive. Those who are connected with our sanitariums are to be educators. By pleasant words and kindly deeds, they are to make the gospel attractive. As followers of Christ, they should seek to make the most favorable impression of the religion they profess and to inspire noble thoughts. Some will be affected by their influence for time and for eternity. In the work of helping others, we may gain most precious victories. We should devote ourselves with untiring zeal, with earnest fidelity, with self-denial, and with patience to the work of helping those who need to develop. Kind, encouraging words will do wonders. There are many who, if a constant, cheerful effort is put forth in their behalf, without fault-finding or chiding, will show themselves susceptible of improvement. The less we criticize others, the greater will be our influence over them for good. To many, frequent positive admonitions will do more harm than good. Let Christ-like kindness be enjoined upon all. Medical Ministry, pages 208, 209, 1905. Subheading, The Great Objective. The conversion of souls is the one great object to be sought for in our medical institutions. It is for this that these institutions are established. The sick and the afflicted, coming to our sanitariums, are brought within reach of the gospel workers laboring there. Oh, what precious opportunities are thus offered to sow the seeds of truth. Letter 213, 1902. Subheading, Presenting the Message Judiciously. Let the spiritual atmosphere of these institutions be such that men and women who are brought to the sanitariums to receive treatment for their bodily ills shall learn the lesson that their diseased souls need healing. Simple, earnest talks may be given in the parlors, pointing the sufferers to their only hope for the salvation of the soul. These religious meetings should be short and right to the point, and they will prove a blessing to the hearers. The word of Him who founded the world in 6 days and on the seventh rested and was refreshed should be effectively brought before the mind. Publications containing the precious truths of the gospel should be in the rooms of the patients, or where they can have easy access to them. There should be a library in every sanitarium, and it should be supplied with books containing the light of the gospel. Judicious plans should be laid that the patients may have constant access to reading matter that contains the light of present truth. Let our sanitariums become what they should be, homes where healing is ministered to sin-sick souls. And this will be done when the workers have a living connection with a great healer. Manuscript 5, 1908. Subheading, Workers Who Can Give Spiritual Help. In our sanitariums, of all places in the world, we need soundly converted physicians and wise workers, men and women who will not urge their peculiar ideas upon the sick, but who will present the truth of the Word in God in a way that will bring comfort and encouragement and blessing to the patients. This is the work for which our sanitariums are established, to correctly represent the truths of the Word of God and to lead the minds of men and women to Christ. Let the religious services held each day be short, but educational in character. Present the Bible and its author, the God of heaven and earth, and Christ the Son, the great gift of God, to the world. Tell the patients how the Savior came to the earth to reveal the love of God for men. Present before them His great sacrifice in thus coming here to live and die. Let it be known, and through faith in Christ, every sinful human being may become a partaker of the divine nature and learn to cooperate with God in the work of salvation. Medical Ministry, page 208, 1909. Subheading, Removing Prejudice. The instruction given to the patients in our sanitariums is not to be presented in the form of laws that must be obeyed. The word was spoken, Everything that can be done is to be done to bring the sick and afflicted to the way of truth and righteousness. Medical missionary work is one means of doing this. We do not know how much prejudice is removed as people are brought in contact with true medical missionary workers. As physicians and nurses strive to do for the suffering the work that Christ did when He was upon this earth, the truth for this time will find access to minds and hearts. The divine seasons of worship at our sanitarium should be conducted in a way that will give opportunity for the asking of questions. Letter 213, 1902. Subheading, Doctrinal Questions. The sanitarium parlor, where are gathered a promiscuous crowd of patients, is not the place to talk upon doctrinal subjects. Let our consistent lives win confidence and awaken a desire to know why we believe as we do. Then invite those who inquire to attend the Sabbath meetings. Manuscript 53, 1899. Subheading, A Wise Restraint. You have an important work to do in the sanitariums. In your work for the patients, do not allow them to receive an impression that you are intensely anxious for them to understand and to accept our faith. It is natural that there should be an intense fervency to this end. But often a wise restraint is necessary. In some cases, the words that might seem appropriate would do grave injury and close a door that might have opened wider. Manifest tender love and exercise judicious forbearance. If you see a good opportunity to make a sharp point in argument, it is better often to forbear. Do not on all occasions present the strongest proofs you know, for this would arouse a suspicion that you were trying merely to convert your hearer to the Seventh-day Adventist faith. The simple word of God has great power to convince of the truth. Let the word speak and do its work. Let there be wise restraint in evangelistic effort. Do not force the presentation of a testing point. Wait till inquiries are made. Let your example teach. Let the words and works show that you believe the words of the living teacher. Letter 308, 1906. Subheading, A Tactful Approach. The living truth of God is to be made known in our medical institutions. This does not mean that the doctors or any of the workers are to introduce the truth to everyone. That is not the way to do. The truth can be presented without doing this. The nurses and workers are not to go to the patients saying, "We believe in the third angel's message." That is not their work, unless the patients desire to hear, unless their objections have been removed and their hearts have been softened. Act so that the patients will see that Seventh-day Adventists are a people who have common sense. Act so that they will feel that the institution is a restful place. Bible truth is to be presented, but special points of the truth are not to be brought out before all the patients. If they ask you questions, give them the reasons of your faith. In this way, light will shine forth. Patients may be asked to attend our meetings, and there they will hear the truth, knowing at the same time that it is not pressed upon them. Then when they leave the sanitarium and hear people saying, "I do not want to go there to be made a Seventh-day Adventist," they will tell them that the workers at the sanitarium press the truth upon no one. It will be impossible to keep patients from inquiring in regard to our faith. There are those who hunger and thirst for truth, and such ones will find it. That is why we want our institution established at once. Manuscript 11, 1899. Subheading, The Witness of a Consistent Christian Life. These sacred truths, believed and practiced, are not to be carried in any coercive manner, but in the spirit of the Master. The Holy Spirit will reach noble minds and the better spirit of men. In all our sanitariums, there should be men who understand the doctrine of truth and who can present it by pen and voice. They will be brought in contact with men of no mean minds, and they should plead with them as they would plead with an only son. It should be our aim, saith the Lord, not to put in responsible positions of trust men who are not fitted by experience, men who do not take deep views of Bible truth. Many suppose that appearance and style and pretense are to do a great work in reaching the higher classes. But this is an error. These people can read these things. Appearance has something, yes, much to do with the impressions made upon minds, but the appearance must be after a godly sort. Let it be seen that the workers are bound up with God in heaven. There should be no striving for recognition by worldly men in order to give character and influence to the work in these last days. Consistency is a jewel. Our faith, our dress, and our deportment must be in harmony with the character of our work, the presentation of the most solemn message ever given to the world. Our work is to win men to the belief of the truth, win by preaching and by example also, by living godly lives. The truth in all its bearings is to be acted, showing the consistency of faith with practice. The value of our faith will be shown by its fruit. The Lord can and will impress men by our intense earnestness. Our dress, our deportment, our conversation, and the depth of a growing experience in spiritual lines, all are to show the great principles of truth we are handling are a reality to us. Thus the truth is to be made impressive as a great whole and command the intellect. Truth, Bible truth, is to become the authority for the conscience and the love and life of the soul. Letter 121, 1900. Subheading, Not Words, But Deeds. In regard to making known our faith, no decided effort should be made to conceal it, and no unwise efforts put forth to make it prominent. Persons will come to the sanitarium who are in a favorable condition to be impressed by the truth. If they ask questions in regard to our faith, it would be proper to state what we believe in a clear, simple manner. Indwelling godliness imparts a power to the conduct of the true believer that gives him an influence for the right. But in this matter, we should act with discretion. There are conscientious persons who think it their duty to talk freely upon points of faith on which there is a difference of opinion, in a manner which arouses the combativeness of those with whom they converse. One such premature, injudicious effort may close the ears of one who otherwise would have heard patiently, but it will now influence others unfavorably. Thus bring up the roots of bitterness, whereby many are defiled. Through the indiscretion of one, the ears and hearts of many may be closed to the truth. It is a fact that is known to all that the zealous religionists of the different sects have cultivated and manifest a very little candor in their estimation of those who differ with them on religious subjects. Those of this class expect to meet the same unreasonable spirit among Seventh-day Adventists, and then put on their armor, prepared to resist anything that will reflect on their peculiar views. In times past, some in the sanitarium have felt it their duty to introduce the Sabbath question in all places. They have urged it upon the patients with earnestness and persistency. To such, the angels of God would say, not words, but deeds. The daily life tells much more than any number of words. A uniform cheerfulness, tender kindness, Christian benevolence, patience, and love will melt away prejudice and open the heart to the reception of the truth. Few understand the power of these precious influences. Manuscript 53, 1899. Heading, The Consecrated Physician and the Missionary Nurse. Subheading, Christian Physicians and Nurses. The Lord has ordained that Christian physicians and nurses shall labor in connection with those who preach the word. The medical missionary work is to be bound up with the gospel ministry. Medical Ministry, page 240, 1908. Subheading, Luke, an Example. In our work today, the ministry of the word and medical missionary work are to be combined. Luke is called the beloved physician. Paul heard of his skill as a physician, and he sought him out as one to whom the Lord had entrusted a special work. He secured his cooperation in his work. After a time, he left them at Philippi. Here Luke continued to labor for several years, doing double service as a physician and a gospel minister. He was indeed a medical missionary. He did his part, and then besought the Lord to let his healing power rest upon the afflicted ones. His medical skill opened the way for the gospel message to find access to hearts. It opened many doors for him, giving him opportunity to preach the gospel among the heathen. It is the divine plan that we shall work as the disciples worked. Connected with the divine healer, we may do great good in the world. The gospel is the only antidote for sin. As Christ's witnesses, we are able to bear testimony to its power. We are to bring the afflicted ones to the Savior. His transforming grace and miracle-working power will win many souls to the truth. His healing power, united with the gospel message, will bring success in emergencies. The Holy Spirit will work upon hearts, and we shall see the salvation of God. In a special sense, the healing of the sick is our work. The lapse of time has wrought no change in Christ's parting promise. He is with us today, as he was with the disciples, and he will be with us unto the end. Christ ordained that a succession of men should proclaim the gospel, deriving their authority from him, the great teacher. Letter 134, 1903. Subheading, Public Lectures by Physicians. One who is a physician and a religious teacher will find a work to do that will result in the salvation of souls. The form of sound words and religious teaching, sustained by a Thus Saith the Lord, will have a saving influence. A physician can so express himself that he will be invited to speak before various companies and will be received. As a teacher, A physician can watch his opportunities for the word of God is to go freely. Letter 4, 1910. Subheading, Singular Opportunities of Missionary Nurses. In every place where the truth is presented, earnest effort should be made from the first to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the sick. This work, faithfully done, will add to the church many souls of such as shall be saved. Those who engage in house-to-house labor will find opportunities for ministry in many lines. They should pray for the sick and should do all in their power to relieve them of suffering. They should work among the lowly, the poor, and the oppressed. We should pray for and with the helpless ones who have not strength of will to control the appetites the passion has degraded. Earnest, persevering effort must be made for the salvation of those in whose hearts an interest is awakened. Many can be reached only through acts of disinterested kindness. Their physical wants must first be relieved. As they see evidence of our unselfish love, it will be easier for them to believe in the love of Christ. Missionary nurses are best qualified for this work, but others should be connected with them. These, although not specially educated and trained in nursing, can learn from their fellow workers the best manner of labor. Testimonies, Volume 6, pages 83, 84, 1900. Subheading, Reaching the Higher Classes. Physicians whose professional abilities are above those of the common worker should be engaged in the service of God in large cities. They should seek to reach the higher classes. Medical missionaries who labor in evangelistic lines are doing a work of as high an order as are their ministerial fellow laborers. This kind of medical work, combined with ministerial work, is not to be limited to the poorer classes. The higher classes have been strangely passed by. In the higher walks of life will be found many who will respond to the truth because it is consistent, bearing the stamp of the high character of the gospel. Not a few men of ability will enter energetically into the work. Using their God-given talents, they will be producers as well as consumers. The faithful physician and the minister are engaged in the same work. They should work in complete harmony. They are to counsel together. By their unity, they will bear witness that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world to save all who will believe in Him as their personal Savior. Manuscript 79, 1900. Subheading, Spiritual Ministry of Physician. The work of the true medical missionary is largely a spiritual work. It includes prayer and the laying on of hands. He therefore should be as sacredly set apart for his work as is the minister of the gospel. Those who are selected to act the part of missionary physicians are to be set apart as such. This will strengthen them against the temptation to withdraw from the sanitarium work to engage in private practice. No selfish motive should be allowed to draw the worker from his post of duty. We're living in a time of solemn responsibilities, a time when consecrated work is to be done. Let us seek the Lord diligently and understandingly. Manuscript 5, 1908. Heading, Balancing Cautions. Subheading, Our Threefold Ministry. God works by means of instruments or second causes. He uses the gospel ministry, medical missionary work, and the publications containing present truth to impress hearts. All are made effectual by means of faith. As the truth is heard or read, the Holy Spirit sends it home to those who hear and read with an earnest desire to know what is right. The gospel ministry, medical missionary work, and our publications are God's agencies. One is not to supersede the other. Letter 54, 1903. Subheading, Attach the Word Medical. The work of the gospel ministry is not to decrease in efficiency, but is to increase until it becomes the great enlightening agency in our world. Everything possible should be done to send more laborers into the field. No influence should be exerted to turn young men aside from qualifying themselves for ministerial missionary work. To this, we may attach the word medical, for it is essential that the gospel minister shall have a knowledge of the disease and its causes. He should know how to give help to the sick. He should be able to teach the people how to treat the house we live in. This is a part of the gospel. Letter 123, 1900. Subheading, our work as distinctive as Mueller's. God does not now lay upon his people the same work which was laid upon Mueller. Footnote, George Mueller, Bristol, England. End of footnote. Mueller did a noble work, but God has given his people a work to do after a different plan. To them he has given a message for the whole world. They are to enter territory after territory and make aggressive warfare against soul-destroying sins. Letter 33, 1900. Subheading, A Balanced Work for Rich and Poor. Of late, 1899, a great interest has been aroused for the poor and outcast classes. A great work has been entered upon for the uplifting of the fallen and degraded. This in itself is a good work. We should ever have the Spirit of Christ, and we are to do the same class of work that he did for suffering humanity. The Lord has a work to be done for the outcasts. There is no question but that it is the duty of some to labor among them and try to save the souls that are perishing. This will have its place in connection with the proclamation of the third angel's message and the reception of Bible truth. But there is danger of loading down everyone with this class of work because of the intensity with which it is carried on. There is danger of leading men to center their energies in this line when God has called them to another work. The great question of our duty to humanity is a serious one, and much of the grace of God is needed in deciding how to work so as to accomplish the greatest amount of good. Not all are called to begin their work by laboring among the lowest classes. God does not require his workmen to obtain their education and training in order to devote themselves exclusively to these classes. The working of God is manifest in a way which will establish confidence that the work is of his devising, and that sound principles underlie every action. But I have had instruction from God that there is danger of planning for the outcasts in a way which will lead to spasmodic and excitable movements. These will produce no really beneficial results. A class will be encouraged to do a kind of work which will amount to the least in strengthening all parts of the work by harmonious action. The gospel invitation is to be given to the rich and the poor, the high and the low, and we must devise means for carrying the truth into new places and to all classes of people. The Lord bids us, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. He says, Begin in the highways, thoroughly work the highways. Prepare a company who in unity with you can go forth to do the very work that Christ did in seeking and saving the lost. Christ preached the gospel to the poor, but he did not confine his labors to this class. He worked for all who would hear his word, not only the publican and the outcast, but the rich and cultivated Pharisee, the Jewish nobleman, the centurion, and the Roman ruler. This is the kind of work I have ever seen should be done, where not to strain every spiritual sinew and nerve to work for the lowest classes and make that work the all in all. There are others whom we must bring to the Master, souls who need the truth, who are bearing responsibilities, and who will work with all their sanctified ability for the high places as well as for the low places. The work for the poorer classes has no limit. It can never be got through with, and it must be treated as a part of the great whole. To give our first attentions to this work, while there are vast portions of the Lord's vineyard open to culture and yet untouched, is to begin in the wrong place. As the right arm is to the body, so is the medical missionary work to the third angel's message. But the right arm is not to become the whole body. The work of seeking the outcast is important, but it is not to become the great burden of our mission. Medical Ministry, pages 311, 312, 1899. Subheading, A Proportionate Work. The medical missionary work must not become disproportionate. It must be a work that is in order with the rest of the work. Letter 38, 1899. Subheading, Health of Workers. Those who put their whole souls into the medical missionary work, who labor untiringly, in peril, in privation, in watchings oft, in weariness and painfulness, are in danger of forgetting that they must be faithful guardians of their own mental and physical powers. They are not to allow themselves to be overtaxed. but they are filled with zeal and earnestness, and they sometimes move unadvisedly, putting themselves under too heavy a strain. Unless such workers make a change, the result will be that sickness will come upon them, and they will break down. While God's workers are to be filled with a noble enthusiasm and with a determination to follow the example of the divine worker, the great medical missionary, they are not to crowd too many things into the day's work. If they do, they will soon have to leave the work, entirely broken down because they have tried to carry too heavy a load. My brother, it is right for you to make the best use of the advantages given you of God in earnest efforts for the relief of suffering and for the saving of souls. But do not sacrifice your health. We have a calling as much higher than common, selfish interests as the heavens are higher than the earth. But this thought should not lead to the willing, hard-working servants of God to carry all the burdens they can possibly bear without periods of rest. How grand it would be if among all who were engaged in carrying out God's wonderful plan for the salvation of souls, there were no idlers. How much more would be accomplished if everyone would say, God holds me accountable to be wide awake, and to let my efforts speak in favor of the truth I profess to believe. I am to be a practical worker, not a daydreamer. Medical Ministry, pages 292, 293, 19, 4.